every marketer becomes a builder. Every marketer is focused on building what I like to call their daily driver. The agents and processes that they incorporate AI into how they do their jobs.
Welcome back to Stay Cognizant, where we bring you the ideas, people, and insights you need to stay cognizant of what's new and what's next in tech. Today, I'm joined by Josh Walters. Josh is my colleague on the marketing team. He leads global marketing strategy, operations, and transformation. And maybe more importantly for the conversation we're going to have today, he also spearheads our Gen AI for Marketing Transformation Pod, which is leading an ambitious AI-driven transformation, not just deploying tools, but fundamentally reimagining how a global marketing function operates. Josh, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Pamela. Thanks for having me.
Marketing has a diverse range of functions and complex workflows, targeting and segmentation, media strategy, creative briefs, and production. What's changing as technology advances is not just that we're using AI, but that we're building it into marketing operations, which transforms the way we work. Today, we'll talk about what it means to be an AI builder organization in marketing, embedding agents into real workflows, unlocking new insights, and translating productivity into measurable business impact. So let's start with the big picture. At a high level, marketing has always run on smart insights, tight timelines, and cross-functional execution. But we're entering a different phase, one where AI doesn't just make those tasks more efficient, it fundamentally changes the way marketers operate. What does AI transformation look like in marketing? And what does an AI builder approach bring to the table? So Josh, my first question for you is just to build on that. You know, we've been using the term AI builder. It is a fundamental element of who Cognizant is as an organization. What does it mean and why does it matter for marketing at Cognizant?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think back to when Gen AI first started to make its way into a lot of our organizations. It was something we were all playing with as an augmentation. And where we are today is starting to reimagine workflows. So as opposed to simply a productivity enhancer, it's a fundamental shift to AI first. And that requires every marketer to think about AI as something that they own and work with daily. So every marketer becomes a builder. Every marketer is focused on building what I like to call their daily driver. The agents and processes that they incorporate AI into how they do their jobs. So starting with AI in an agent for generating creative briefs, for turning conversations into project briefs, for taking those first steps and building draft content, for building audience segments, you name it, a marketer across global marketing and Cognizant is going to start using AI daily in just about every part of their work. And I think that's really what it means to be a builder today. It's not just somebody who is bolting AI into how they work today. It's changing how they work tomorrow, AI first.
So we use this word marketing. Marketing is not at all homogenous. Marketing means many different things. People working on campaign operations, people working on copywriting, people designing things. What were your first considerations and ideas when you thought about how to integrate AI into this very broad and diverse set of work that the team does?
The low-hanging fruit is probably content. A lot of what marketers do is write. Whether we're creating copy or creating press releases, writing web copy, writing social copy, one of the first things that AI did well was write. Now, it didn't write perfectly. It requires a lot of augmentation. It requires professionals to take something that AI generates and turn it into something that we would say, as people, that we would say as an organization, that we would say in our voice. So that's probably the early days of what we were looking at is where are we producing content across the organization and how can we get from idea to draft really quickly and then from draft to finished product in even a more quick way than we could historically. But it's a quick shift to how do you do things differently with data. And so some of our early forays into data were around audience building. So how do you take data that lives within our data warehouse around our audiences and do rapid segmentation using a number of facets and using the LLM to make some informed choices so you can really quickly get to the audiences that you're trying to reach? And that's a much different approach than, you know, you're just taking when you're saying, write me a press release, right? Now you're starting to think about who am I going after? What are their specific needs? And then that's going to inform the brief that we build for our creative teams. So first forays, content, but where we're getting now is much more complex and how do we use data?
So I think probably right around the time you were starting to think about these things, there was a pretty big moment in Cognizant, which was this Global Vibe Coding Week event that we had last summer. It was this moment where all of our associates were encouraged to sign up and do a vibe coding project, and we actually won a world record for it. I think marketing actually came in second for participation. Talk a little bit about Vibe Coding Week and kind of how it intersects with the way that we're thinking about bringing generative AI into marketing.
Yeah, I think what's cool about marketers is there are a number of functions, and most marketers are some kind of Swiss Army knife, right? We work across function. In the course of a day, you can be doing a lot of things from talking to stakeholders to writing draft content to building briefs to, you know, looking at reports to trying to do analysis to make our marketing more incisive, more insightful, better going after the targets that we're trying to hit. So vibe coding was sort of saying, here are a bunch of tools that natural language can be used to build websites, applications, things that before would require deep technical expertise. Well, because marketers are Swiss Army knives and we're used to writing business requirement documents and briefs, we're actually pretty good at writing a business requirements document for an application. And then when you take that skill and you turn it over to a vibe coding application like a Lovable, or one something from the Google suite, you're going to get some pretty excellent results. What we found marketers really interested in were things that today are pretty challenging, like how do you apply Cognizant's writing style consistently across copy? How do you use a vibe-coded project to enforce brand guidelines? Still a challenge.
Ironically, these are things that are also difficult for humans. So it's maybe not surprising that we're finding that they're also difficult for AI.
That's true. And they're tough to describe, right? You're talking about something that is sometimes subjective, right? There's not a hard and fast rule in some cases. And so you're actually asking some of these applications to do something that we ourselves struggle with or that are time consuming. And they're some of the most complicated pieces. So it's not surprising that a marketer would say, this is the most complex thing I can think of. Let me go out there and try and build it. And we were, I would say, some degree of successful in a lot of that. And that informed where we started looking at agentifying the marketing world. And we're focused on, and maybe we'll get to this, we're focused on three paths inside of marketing, all of which we're following concurrently. And the first one is to embrace the enterprise tools that we have. Enterprise tools like live within the Adobe Creative Cloud suite, that live within our Salesforce suite, that live within Microsoft or within Anthropic as a suite or within Gemini. Each of these are things that come to us as employees inside of a large enterprise. We need to be using the most that we can of the AI things that are in there. The second is around custom-built partnership work that we do with IT. So when we have complex use cases, we'll work with our IT partners to do custom-built things that are what I would call a pro-code style agent. And the last is what's our real transformative focus, which is using Cognizant's own Neurosan platform for multi-agent orchestration to build the agentic marketing organization. So going back to what we were doing with vibe coding was getting everybody into a platform that said, go out, think differently about your role inside of the company and the role that you play with technology. Now you're a builder. You're a vibe coder, and see what you can do, and then take that back and let's translate this now agentically. What can we use enterprise platforms for? What requires a little more expertise in a pro code avenue? And then what actually happens when you try to agentify the marketing organization? If we're following all three of those lanes at the same time, we're going to end up in a truly next level marketing world.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about agents in just a minute, but I'm curious, now that you've had the opportunity to see all the ideas that came through vibe coding and to really think about all the different tasks like you talked about that the team does, what's a marketing workflow that you'd love to automate? Maybe we haven't quite gotten there yet. And what's one that you would never automate that you feel really needs more than a human in the loop? It's a human first workflow.
Well, I guess I'll start with things that I'd love to automate. I think operations for us is complex, but there are a lot of repeatable tasks. And even my project managers would love to automate certain parts of their workflows. If intake can be more complete, then converting projects can be simplified and assigning resources can be simplified and staying on schedule can be simplified because you have all of those requirements up front. So the intake process is one that I would love to automate. Get that intake process automated and directly in the hands of our field marketers, our service line marketers, our product marketers, our events teams, and allow an agent to fully collect and in some cases expand what becomes the project brief so that we can enter projects in a more ready state than we can today. It's a heavily human augmented path today in order to start a project. If we can automate a good bit of that through agentifying or through the use of AI, I think that would set us on a much cleaner path for the most part. Things that I would have a hard time taking people out of the loop on altogether, I think really revolves around some of the data. So using data to give you insights is important, but I think people need to be the ones to prioritize which insights you activate. So I think that, and that's probably true of most workflows in marketing, there's a lot that we can bring AI to bear on. But in almost every case, I think you need people looking at it to rationalize both for business priority as well as for the nuances of how we do our jobs.
So let's get into some of those specifics about some of these agents that you've mentioned. And I think what's really compelling about what our teams are building is, you know, as you mentioned, these aren't off-the-shelf AI tools. They're really purpose-built agents that are designed to solve problems that we have, you know, challenges that we have on the marketing team. And I want to talk about three in particular. I want to talk about Audience Builder, which is built with custom code by our marketing technology and analytics team. It's a tool that I'm personally very excited about as somebody who leads our global integrated campaign every year. There's a research assistant that is also used custom code built by our Cognizant research team. And then we've got this Bluebolt Insights writing coach. And each one kind of reframes something that has previously been a constraint or a challenge into an opportunity that I obviously, our hope is that that's going to translate directly into measurable value for us. So let's start with the Audience Builder. Talk a little bit about the problem that we're trying to solve and why this was a particularly smart place to apply AI.
Yeah. So if you think about how many applications handle security historically, it's license-based and you have a license to the application. And so you're able to go in and do things with the data, run reports, have access. Usually licensing comes with a seat cost. And so you have a limited number of people who have access to a system. What we were trying to do is democratize within reason, within the right user group, access to certain data for people who need to use what's in that system to do marketing things. So we share a system with our sales team, and our marketing team is not in there trying to add customers, add leads, talk about things from a sales side, but we use that for how we build audiences that we're trying to target for marketing. And so we need our field marketers and our service line marketers and others across our team to be able to use that data, slice it differently for different use cases that come up across the year.
How are we going to invite people to the Cognizant Classic? How are we going to target people in a global advertising campaign?
Precisely. And not just can we invite them to Cognizant Classic, but which ones?
That's
right. Who has the largest opportunity right now with Cognizant? And we really want them to be there because we need to spend time with them. And it's a nice environment and it's a marquee event and it's good for all of us, right? So it's easy to get butts in seats. It's hard to get the right butts. And that's what we're trying to do with Audience Builder, is take something that was previously expensive to get the data from and challenging because you had to have specialists, and free that up through APIs and through AI augmentation to allow marketers to access that same data set, cut it in different ways for marketing uses. That's really the crux of this. It's simplifying and then giving greater insight to how we use our data.
And have we used it? Have you seen some successful deployments yet?
Absolutely. And what's interesting is, again, marketers are coming up with different use cases. Well, now I have access to this data. Now I can cut it in even different ways that I couldn't do before, that I didn't know how to do inside of that system. I didn't have the expertise to go into that tool before, even as a licensed user, to do certain slices. And now, through this interface with AI augmentation, I can use this data in ways that I didn't even know were possible. So we are seeing that. We're especially seeing it on the event side. We're seeing it on ABMs. We're seeing it within our global campaign, and we're using it globally. So it's not just one set of data. All of our marketers that touch all of our markets are able to use that.
So let's talk about research. The Cognizant research team is building an agent to assist with research queries. Claude, Copilot, Gemini, they all offer deep research agents, but of course those are open internet research tools. So talk a little bit about why we felt it was important to create a closed environment agent that is a little more exclusive to our research.
Two things, right? I think on one hand, our research team is a pretty small team, and they have a really big job to come up with some of the best research in the industry today. New Minds, New Markets is a classic example of a really fundamentally different way to look at how AI is coming into the world. And that research we own, and our sales team needs to take advantage of that research. And they're looking for data points to put into a presentation. And not just from that study, but from a number of our research studies. So if you're coming to a small team 50 times a week for data points from a global sales team, saying, I'd like a data point that talks about how Cognizant is helping agentify in a life sciences setting. One of our researchers has to stop pursuing the research to go into some of our information and find the data points. So what the team has done is create a repository of all of our owned research, trained the LLMs on just our research to the exclusion of what would be out there on the wider internet, and allows now our teams to get access to that research without having to go through our research team. And then training that agent to say things like, if you're asking me a question I don't have data for, I don't have data for that particular question. I do have data for these questions which seem related. Would you like to follow that path? So as opposed to what an agent might normally do that has access to the wider internet, go out and find that and bring it back and say, what about this? We're focused on our proprietary research for our research team. So it keeps our team focused on what they need to be doing, and it allows broader access to just our research to the right people who are trying to get the right data points for their needs.
All right. So the last one, I want to talk about this Bluebolt Insights Writing Coach. I have used it. It really kind of helps you structure ideas, you know, turn a rough outline into an organized draft. It can add proof points. It can, you know, prompt you with, you know, questions to kind of help flesh out what you're thinking about. And maybe the hardest part is that it can also kind of align to our tone and voice. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, how this came about, what it's actually doing in terms of our ability to generate new thought leadership ideas. And then also, like, for this one, what aspects still depend on human input?
Yeah. Well, this one was all about helping our associates who don't write thought leadership all the time learn how to do that. So you can put a couple of prompts into the LLM of your choice and generate something that approximates thought leadership. Now it's going to be generated by AI, and it's not your own original thoughts. It's the AI doing the work. But we actually want the voice of our associates to come through. So what are Bluebolt's Insight writing?
It's more like a ghostwriter.
That's right. That's right. We don't want ghostwriters. We want their voice. We want to find our next thought leaders. And we want them to learn how to write. So what the Bluebolt Insights writing assistant does is help tease out some of the information that's going to be important for writing thought leadership, but then ask you coaching questions for you to provide the insights. What have you noticed about this? What are three areas that you think this idea applies to? What was your aha moment in going through this exercise? It can then help you structure your thoughts in a way that makes sense. So it is a bit of an assistant in that way. But these are now your thoughts and your insights. It's not just writing the articles for you. Now, again, the challenge was we have one editor for this particular channel internally, and she was receiving 6 to 8 different solicitations each week who all needed lots of coaching. And so this really broadens her ability to say, here's everything I know about writing thought leadership in this way. I'm going to put it into an assistant that allows you to use it automatically. Now, what's really cool is she's now receiving 50 submissions a day about internal thought leadership. So she has now trained a Claude skill on all of the submissions and all of her responses that she's had over the last year in her voice and in the way that she coaches people how to write better thought leadership. She can now have this Claude skill assess each of those new submissions and provide an output that she can then read quickly and say, do I agree with this? Is this how I would phrase this to this person? And it's cut her time by 70-80% that she has to spend on each article, because she'll now still read the articles, but she'll now have her Claude skill go through and provide the assessment. She can then copy and paste that email and send it right to the submitter so that they can move more quickly through. So she's not just using one agent. She's now using two different systems, two completely different paradigms. One is agentic and one is skill-based in order to help with this process.
Well, and what's great about all three of these examples is that you can imagine how the workflows that they're enabling applies to other parts of marketing, right? So it's not, you don't only need a coach for writing thought leadership. You could use a coach for looking at a design idea or evaluating a creative brief or, you know, any other list of things that I could mention. So I think that the scalability of these ideas is pretty interesting.
That's exactly true. And we're seeing it happen more and more each day. You know, we started with one pro code agent and three grassroots agents in our Gen AI suite. Now we have three or four pro code agents there and nearly 20 total agents. And we're just about ready to start an AI hackathon for building agents across marketing, where we're inviting all 340 marketers to submit agents to our Gen AI suite so we can really get ahead in that neuro-enhanced, neuro-orchestrated agentic marketing organization.
Well, one of the biggest challenges in enterprise AI and the role of an AI builder is producing measurable outcomes and business impact. And in marketing, we can measure productivity and cost savings in dollars, but other aspects of value creation are harder to define. Marketing influence on winning deals, for instance, or capacity to drive revenue. We want to be deliberate about tracking that impact. So let's talk a little bit about some of the metrics behind it. You know, as of today, we've got close to 300 licensed users of Microsoft Copilot and Gemini. We've got over 100 marketers using Claude. We've reported about $1.1 million in productivity savings last year. As we expand, in all the different ways that we've talked about during this conversation, what's the projected impact? What are we trying to get to and return back to the organization and or add into innovation or, you know, other ways that will create value for Cognizant?
A lot of us who are deploying AI are really focused on productivity right now. But there is business impact that you're trying to capture as well. And business impact for us, let's take the data side and our audience builder work. The audience builder work is not just, again, about how many people can we blast with an ad. It's who are the right people and how do we make sure that that selection is impactful. So if we can do a better job selecting audiences using AI, and we can do a better job tuning messaging to that audience using AI and understanding their needs better so that our messaging is better and going to the right vehicles where we know that audience is going to be, then we're getting better precision on our marketing. And so our marketing becomes more effective and our marketing-influenced opportunities increase, and the total value of those opportunities also goes up. So we're not just trying to enhance productivity. We're really going after this marketing-influenced opportunity, because marketing is here to support sales. We need to drive pipeline so that sales teams can close deals. That's the ultimate goal for putting AI into the hands of marketers. It's not just making us better at our jobs, which it does, or allowing us to produce, you know, more press releases, which it can do. It really is about driving the downstream outcome for our sales teams. So all of these pieces are really there to help us capture the marketing-influenced opportunity. Now, along the way, we are saving time. We are learning. We're changing the skill sets of marketers. We're moving from, you know, business analysts to AI analysts. We're moving from running reports on the data to running reports, but then also analyzing the reports and making recommendations on what we can do based on the data. So, you know, if you think it used to take so much time to actually run reports, well, now we can run reports pretty automatically. We can run insights on the reports pretty automatically, and then we can spend our time really scrutinizing that analysis and figuring out what to do next. And that's sort of the serendipitous opportunity that we're trying to get to with marketing influenced opportunity.
Yeah. You know, on the last episode of this podcast, I had the opportunity to interview one of our clients. And one of the things that he said, along with the things you said, is that it's actually enabling people to get back to doing the parts of their job that they love and that are more strategic, right? If you no longer have to be the person who's got to hunt around in Win Zone for, you know, the right people to build an audience around for, you know, the upcoming race in Miami, now you can actually be thinking more creatively about, you know, what does that audience look like and why, and how are you going to target them? And you know, you can be much more strategic and really focus on the parts of the job that are not the manual pieces that AI is great at right now, but the pieces that actually use your skill sets in a better way.
I think that's absolutely true. I do think it comes at a little bit of a cost. And this is where culture change comes into play. Because, you know, you used to have folks who were really good at running reports, who were really good at Excel and could create the pivot table of your dreams. And now they don't have to. And so some of the things they used to do that they felt added value to the org, AI can do really quickly, and it doesn't need them to do it. So yes, it does change the role of the person who now takes that report that AI can help with really quickly and turns them into an analyst, but it also changes how they need to show up. It changes what they feel is valuable to the organization. I used to be able to be the one who could crunch all these numbers and I knew what to do. Now AI does it automatically. What's my role? Well,
right.
That's the shift. Your role is now, you're so familiar with the data. Tell me about it, right?
Right.
What is the insight in this data? What is the change I need to make? What's the shift that has to be made in order for me to activate on this data? So it does change what we're asking our people to do. And that's culture change. That's part of the job change, the skill change that Ravi Kumar talks about a lot. Whereas it's creating new opportunity in the workforce, and there is mobility, because it's not necessarily taking that job away from a person, it's giving that person a different job. They have to add different value now in that value stream.
What's still hard to measure? You know, where do you feel like marketing teams may be creating value that the dashboards aren't fully capturing yet?
Well, I think new capability is hard to monetize. So if there's something that we couldn't do before because it was hard, or because the compute just wouldn't happen, or we didn't have access to the data, it's hard to know how to capture something that you couldn't even do before. So that sort of new opportunity cost or new opportunity savings. You know, if we think about our person who wrote the Blue Bolt's writing assistant, if she now has hundreds of users using that application per week, and it used to take her an hour per consultation, well, you can say that's, you know, 100 hours worth of consultations that agent has solved. But it's actually more than that, because she never would have done that before, right? It just never would have happened. So it's a savings that you actually can't quantify. she never would have done 100 of those in a week or in a day. It just was impossible.
It's creating new paradigms.
Right. And you take that to the audience builder, or you take that to any number of agents that we're building today that are doing things with information more quickly than we could have done them before. Now we're able to add value we weren't even adding before because we couldn't get to it. There was no time. So I think that's what's really hard is we're doing new things using AI. We're doing new things, changing how we work. And that's a little bit hard to quantify.
So let's look at the future. Where do you think marketing will be? What will it look like in a few years? Will AI agents manage campaigns end to end? Will there be a company that has a CMO who's an agent? I mean, what will it look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
I think it's hard to know what it's going to look like 6 months from now. I think about where we've come, you know, in the last year. A year ago, we were thinking about how do we get an LLM in the hands of all of our associates? How do we make sure everybody has at least Copilot or Gemini or Claude or Firefly, if you're an Adobe user, or an AI agent inside of Workfront or an AI agent inside of Sixth Sense or Cvent, right? So how do we make sure everybody has access to some AI? Well, now there's AI pretty much everywhere, and our associates have access to that. Not only that, we've got multi-agent systems possible in each of these platforms. We have an entirely different paradigm coming out of the Anthropic space with what you can do with skills and how Claude Code works and how Cowork has the potential to work for us. So if you think about the advancements that are being made in each of these spaces, it's hard to know what marketing looks like specifically. I would say that we're always going to be targeting the audiences. So audience targeting is going to continue to be important. Bringing the right message to those audiences, wherever they are, is going to be important. How we do it might change, but marketers are still going to have to make those choices. They're still going to have to be working within our business to prioritize where we spend our money, where we spend our time, what those messages look like. Are they going to be video? Are we going to be doing more experiential? Right? It's hard to know that, but AI will be at the very center of how we do our work, probably at the beginning, at the middle, and then you'll have a lot of people at the end, and then you'll probably even have AI doing some of that fulfillment. So I think it's going to be across the value stream with people all over.
What about from a leadership perspective? How is AI changing the way you and the rest of the marketing leadership team lead?
Well, I can tell you that we are reading more reports. We're really focused on the industry. We're really focused on what analysts are saying. We're comparing analyst reports a lot more frequently now because you can use AI to compare two different things that you read and find the nuggets that apply in your context, in your scenario. We are focused on employee enablement. We are focused very deeply on training and making sure that folks know how to use these tools, because you can't just launch the tool and say, use AI. It's here's a new tool. Here's where we think it fits. Here's how you use it. Now you get in and explore, right? Don't play. Explore with purpose. And we are professionals, so use it in your job and let's figure out where to take this. So calm, confident leadership, I think, continues to be important. But at the end of the day, this is change management. And it's change management that is moving very, very quickly. So trying to stay current. I think looking at what the analysts are saying, looking at our own inside of our own organization, listening to our associates. I spend a lot of time listening to our associates who are learning new things about what they can do, who are running into barriers when they're trying to use a tool, and they need an answer from one of our counterparts in IT or another one of our colleagues who might have figured out a way through that. These aren't just models that you can use on your personal computer, because you're inside of an enterprise context. So there's different layers of security. There's different access privileges. And, you know, all of that comes with a level of confidence, because you know you can work on it with your work data, but also with a little bit of a challenge to try and figure out how to do it in the way that we need to.
So my last question for you, Josh, you know, I think we are lucky at Cognizant because we've always had the perspective to be client zero as it relates to AI. I think we are inarguably pretty close to the forefront of really deploying AI internally and understanding what it can do. And, you know, you've been at the forefront of helping us build a new model for how marketing operates. What advice would you give to marketing leaders who might be earlier in the journey, you know, really just starting to think about agentifying marketing? What advice would you give them?
Well, I think one is be open to the technology landscape shifting around you, but don't wait for that to start. So one of the things that we jumped on really quickly was any tool that came into our enterprise, we got right in there, made sure we had marketing users who could get into it and start using it. And we made sure that our associates knew that this was where we needed to go. So we gave them permission to use the tools with their own discernment, with their own professionalism, but with some level of trust. So I would say, don't wait. The tools will change. The landscape is shifting. But if you wait, then you're just going to be further behind. So I think that's one thing we're doing well is we're not closed off to a single approach. We're not closed off to a single platform. We're going down as many paths as we can. And the ones that work in one lane might not work so well in another lane. And we're okay with that because we want everybody moving forward. I think that's the main thing. It's giving your people permission to find the right tool and then listening to those folks who are finding a great path forward. Celebrating the successes, even talking about the failures. There's a lot of ways to use AI in a context that's fun also, not just work. And I think letting employees explore some of the fun sides of that as well. I see a lot of really good morale being built around that. I have one leader who always has something fun, a game or something to do with AI at the beginning of a staff meeting that they do once a month, and the team really gets into it. And it has lowered the fear factor of jumping into AI for a lot of those team members.
Well, we've heard today about what being an AI builder looks like in practice in a global marketing organization. Josh, thank you so much for sharing what our teams are building here at Cognizant.
My pleasure. Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back soon with more on how Cognizant is helping organizations turn emerging technologies into meaningful progress. We'll see you next time on Stay Cognizant.